So we're here with Luke tonight from London, who's going to tell us a little bit about his story. We hear all the time today that once somebody's gay, they're always gay, and Luke has an interesting story to tell. So could you begin to tell us a little bit about your life, of how you grew up and so on?
Okay, so I grew up in a family of five, so my mother and my father, my older brother and my younger sister. So my brother's 5 years older than me. So my brother and I are very different. So growing up, my brother was into things such as football and boxing and quite boisterous activities, whereas I kind of would prefer to play with my sister and was more into like soft toys and pushing her pram and just kind of less, as I don't know, as society would say, boy activities, which grew to my dad and my brother from a very young age calling me homophobic names. So they'd ask me, they'd tell me quite aggressively not to do that, that's gay, or call me gay, but using homophobic kind of words. And that went on up until I was about 16.
Thank you. And then what happened after that as you were going through puberty? What sort of choices did you make? What did you, what began to happen?
So from about the age of probably 8, I had, due to the, now I believe due to the constant kind of verbal abuse, that I was really questioning who I was. I was really confused. I didn't understand who I was or why they called me gay. So I'd kind of already been looking at boys and wondering if I fancied boys at a very young age, and that continued as I got older, and I was probably about, so I was in year 7, so either 12 or 13 when I had my first experience with a boy, a sexual experience.
And how did that make you feel when that happened?
I felt the attention that I received from a male was very satisfying, and this was a male that was equivalent to like my brother and dad's kind of how can I put it? So quite a macho, manly man. He was 3-4 years older than me as well.
Okay. And then as time progressed through your teens, what then happened?
So I had a few more experiences in a similar context, in terms of a similar kind of guy, a macho kind of guy. So two more from about 13 to 16. And they were guys who I were friends with, but it was unspoken. It wasn't as if it was a relationship, or it was kind of, they were probably really embarrassed after, and I was really embarrassed. It was unspoken, but it had happened, and I kind of craved that attention from them.
Yes. So time is ticking on then. You're getting into your late teens. What then happens?
So at 16... I had a girlfriend for a few months at 16, and I was really, really kind of shocked that a girl fancied me, and I was attracted to this girl also. And it lasted a few months, and then a boy who I knew, again a few years older, again kind of very manly and macho, instigated something, which then led to me kind of entering a relationship with him. And that went on for about 4 years.
Right. So what age were you when you had this relationship with him?
from about 16 to 20.
Okay. And was that a monogamous relationship, or were other people involved from time to time? Or?
No, it was just committed to one another. It was a very unhealthy relationship in terms of a lot of violence and, yeah.
Right. So, but nonetheless, you continued in that relationship, even though there were unhappy aspects of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Hmm. So, what then happened when you were 20? What brought it to an end, or what changed?
It got to a point where I didn't want to put up with it anymore. I didn't want to put up with it throughout the whole time, but I did because I craved the attention of a man, and it got to a point where I had enough people around me that I felt I could just kind of break off from this relationship and still feel... I was very, very needy. I needed people. I needed to be accepted. I needed to be loved. I needed to know that someone was there. And I've developed really good relationships in terms of friends, and I had that around me. So I felt confident to say, enough is enough. And that was the case at, about 20.
Thanks. So these friendships were sufficient then at that time, but you still thought of yourself as gay, did you? And you were known as gay?
I'd never come out and said I'm gay. It never sat comfortably with me. As crazy as it sounds, I still always felt really unsure, even though I was attracted to men and I wanted men's attention, but I'd never come out and said, I'm gay, but all my friends and family knew that I was in this relationship.
Right.
So it sounds quite confusing, but, it is quite confusing.
Okay. And so you're then 20, the relationship has ended, and then what happened? Did you get into relationships with other men, or quite what happened?
So throughout the period from about, I'd say, 21 to 23, I weren't in any relationships, but I had sexual intercourse with girls and boys in between that time, probably more so with men than with women.
Okay. So that was 20 to 23.
Yeah.
And were you thinking yourself at that point then bisexual, or...?
I could never label myself. I could never say I was bisexual. I couldn't physically bring the words to my mouth to say that I was anything, because in my head and my heart, I was so confused. Although I had this attraction and desire to have intercourse with a man, I still couldn't say that I was gay. And a lot of people would have kind of assumed that I was scared of what other people thought, or that I didn't want to come out. But that weren't the case, because everybody around me knew that I was in relationships, or had a relationship with a boy. So it was, again, very confusing.
Mm. So then you get to the age of 23. What happens then?
So it was 20, I think, between 23 and 24, when I asked Jesus into my life.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly now the age I was at. It was in between 23 and 24.
And how did that happen exactly? What were the events that led up to that?
So I smoked a lot of weed. I smoked lots of weed. And I used to take other drugs too. But they weren't really an issue. Although I took them when I'd be out. It wasn't an addiction. Weed was an addiction. And I got to a point where I couldn't do this anymore. I didn't want to live like that anymore in terms of being an addict. And I kind of masked it quite well, you know. I was functioning, I went out, I'd done nice things, had nice things. It didn't take too much control of me. But mentally and emotionally, it did. I have my mother's a strong Christian, so I had a relationship with Jesus as a child, but as I say, when I got to the point about 12, 13, I gave up on God because of who I was, who I thought I was, and I thought, I didn't think much really, I just thought, you've made me like this, and I kind of just turned my back on God and forgot about him. But then I called out to him and asked for help regarding the weed.
And what happened?
It was incredible. I literally, it was like a really deep kind of heartful kind of cry, and I cried out to God, and I meant it more than I'd meant anything ever in my life. Like, please come and help me now. And I just wept and wept, and it was a real overwhelming feeling of God's presence, which I can't really explain, but I felt like God was there. I know God was there and that he heard me. And I was having loads of flashbacks through life and through me as a young boy, and him felt really like kind of that God was saying to me I was there. And yeah, it was just really intense and just really like beautiful at the same time, as well as heartbreaking.
Okay, so it was a very emotional experience.
Very, yeah.
And you were on your own at the time.
Mm.
Yeah. And what then changed following that emotional experience?
I was instantly healed from addiction.
Okay.
I had been smoking 10 years, and I had quite a lot on me. I threw it all away, and the next day I was around people that were smoking, and it made me feel sick. I couldn't bear the smell of it. I had no withdrawal symptoms. Often if you've been smoking cannabis a long time, you have trouble sleeping, you can suffer from severe night terrors. Eating kind of, you have trouble eating after. I had none of that. I was completely healed, and I was just so in awe of God's love for me, and the amount of grace he had over my life and how I'd been living, and just felt so welcomed and so loved by Jesus. So that the last few years, that's kind of what's the place that I've been at. And
okay, so you gave up the weed, Jesus had come into your life. Did you join a church immediately, or
one thing as well that I left out that in that conversation with God is I immediately, like, after crying for probably about an hour or so, and it was a relief cry, a kind of it was emotional, of course, but I can't explain that. It was a real connection. And one thing I said to God was, if I'm gay, I'm gay. If I'm not, I'm not. I don't care. I just love you. And I just want you, Lord. And that was a mentality I had in regards of sexuality for about a year and a half after that moment.
Okay. So you, in that year and a half, you were continuing to be attracted to men, were you?
I wouldn't say block it out, I ignored it.
Yes.
I knew that from that moment in my life, it wasn't right that I felt attracted in terms of sexually to a man or a woman. And the way that I looked at it was that I shouldn't be thinking like that about anybody right now.
Right.
And as it would come to me, I'd give it to God. But I was just so in love with God.
Yes.
That those kind of feelings or thoughts, when they came, I'd pray and they'd be... I'd completely given it to God. I completely trusted God that wherever it would go.
And were you being a Christian on your own, or had you joined a church?
I joined a church. I immediately went to the church that I grew up going to. There's two in my local area, and two that I had strong relationships with both. And I just started going to both because I just wanted to get as much as I could in terms of being fed, in terms of listening and worshipping.
Great.
So hungry.
And after that year and a half, what then began to happen in terms of your orientation and desires and so on?
So I went to a Christian festival in the summer. And I had rekindled some relationships with Christian friends I had when I was younger, although I hadn't kind of had much of a relationship with them for a good, like, 10 years or so. We kind of, like, took off where we left off. We had that connection in terms of faith and Jesus. So I kind of got quite close to Christian, one particular Christian friend again, and he was going to this Christian festival. And I was well up for it. So I went. And when I arrived, after about, I think we arrived in the evening, so the next day when we woke up and we was meeting people and chatting, I just felt so attracted to the girls there. Seeing these girls and the love that they had for Jesus was the most attractive thing that I had ever felt. My life, I was just like, whoa. And I looked at my mate and I was like, I fancy all of them.
Gosh, right. So that was a real, almost an overnight sort of change.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on? And I said to my friend, like, I'm actually really, really attracted to these gals. This is just incredible.
Right. So how did that then play out going forward?
So after... It was a big group of girls we were camping next to, and a friend, we had mutual friends, that was where the connection kind of, that's where it happened. So we grew close to them over the 4 or 5 days we were there. And there was this one particular girl, after a day of speaking to them all, that I felt really kind of attracted to. And I just looked at her and I just thought, wow, she's just absolutely beautiful. And I was physically attracted to her and so attracted to how much she loved Jesus.
Right. So you spiritually you found her attractive as well as physically.
Yes.
Yeah. So what happened then?
The festival finished. We kept in contact. We'd been speaking for a few months, probably every day. And I knew I was going to have to get to a point where I'd have to be honest with her about my past, and I prayed about it, and I was like, God, can I just leave it as long as possible, because she is going to run a mile when she finds out. And then I got to a place of just kind of, you know, putting God first. If she runs a mile, she's meant to run a mile. You're in control of this, Lord. I completely trust you. And I felt really prompted that I had to tell her, like, the night that I was having this conversation with the Lord, and he was like, you need to tell her tonight. So I had to tell her.
Okay. And how did she react?
She was, it was really interesting. I was on the phone to my mum before telling her, and my mum had said, she kind of, if due to my Facebook and the amount of girlfriends I had, close girlfriends, that she probably could have suspected this already. And I was like, no, of course she wouldn't. And got really defensive to my mum, thinking, thanks, that's encouraging. But actually, once I had had this conversation with the girl, she did say I had thought that could have been a possibility. I questioned that. But I'm so glad that you have brought this up. And I think it must have been difficult for her to hear, but she was probably relieved at the same time, because she'd had those thoughts on herself. And then we just spoke about it regularly for still up till now, but more in depth for a few days. She had lots of questions, understandably. And, yeah, so we just kind of spoke about it lots.
Great, thank you. And going forward, how would you describe your orientation now then? Are you attracted simply to girls or to men and women? Or
I know that I've attracted to women. I look at sometimes I can look at a man now and I appreciate that he's a handsome man, but the terms of sexually attracted, I don't feel like I don't have those thoughts. I don't feel sexually kind of attracted to men. Yeah, I just look and it's like, okay, you're a good looking guy and that's that. I don't start thinking I want you to like me and I want you to acknowledge me or notice me. And I feel a lot more attracted to girls than I ever had during my teenage years.
Hmm.